The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower and Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I have two guests today, and we're going to be talking about an association that some of you may not be familiar with, GITEC. With me is the president of GITEC, a federal CISO, Sean Kelly, and the Braz, Luann Brosman of Government Marketing University, and the Executive Advisory Committee of GITEC. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having us.
Sean, give whatever background you want on yourself.
I am the president of GITEC, and I am responsible to make sure that, you know, we have set a strategic vision and that we're going in the right directions as far as the summit and in a lot of our planning. In my private light, I'm a retired naval officer, have worked in industry, and now in the federal government, as you mentioned, as a CISO.
Okay, cool. Lou.
Yes. So,
tell people who you are.
I'm Luann Brosman, and I have been involved with GITEC for over 20 years. Most recently, the past 2 years, serving on the Executive Advisory Council in a marketing role. Love it. Love all the direction that we're going in. I'm very excited that we're going to share a lot of that stuff today because we've got some new exciting things coming down the pipe. As far as my business world, I've been doing government marketing for close to 30 years. And recently, about a year and a half ago, launched a new initiative called Government Marketing University. So we're now teaching people how to market and sell to the federal government.
There you go. Something I've been doing for 30 years anyway.
And that's why you are a professor
there you go.
At Government Marketing University.
All right. So let's start this way. Let's do some background on GITEC. I've been involved in associations in the market forever. Started one back in the 80s that dealt with mail management issues in the government market. Played in IAC, played in FGPSI, Affirm, ACT, IAC. Was there at the beginning of IAC, oddly enough. But Sean, where does GITEC fit into this scheme of things?
Thanks, Mark. That's a great question. You know, the market is pretty congested nowadays. GITEC is ran by government executives, and so it is folks that are every day living the problems of the folks that we build our programs for. We also have our Executive Advisory Council that brings the industry flavor into it and makes sure that we're not just looking at it from one dimension of a view. And so, but also our summit is very intimate. We're not going for big conferences. We're going for 450, 500 people max when we grow to that level, because we want what we have right now is a ratio of one to two to three industry. For every government person, there's two to three industry folks there. And we have that so we can really get down to what the issues are. But more importantly, what are the solutions to those issues? And that intimacy that I think we create within our summit really creates an environment that people walk away feeling like, you know, I'm leaving smarter than I came. And that's our goal, is to put a high quality program that when you walk away, you feel like you walk away with something that's usable, not just an educational material.
Okay. How old is GITEC at this point? How long have you guys been around?
Well, GITEC in one, it used to be IPIC, and in one form or another is about 50 years old. The summit itself is on its 34th year.
IPIC was a big iron conference once upon a time. I mean, that goes way back.
It absolutely does. And it was a huge conference.
And it goes way back to a lot of us that have been doing government marketing for a long time to a really sweet soft spot, because we all went to Florida every year in Orlando for the IPIC show. And as a marketer, it was one of the most well-produced, attended, and it had fun, because if you remember game night, you know, the booths would come out with these incredible games and government would come in and play the games, and it was an amazing networking. And you know, it's evolved over the years to now be something even better.
Cool. All right. So so we know how GITEC fits into the current thing. Give me an idea of who you want industry-wise and government-wise at the summit. Is this a CISO event? Is this a CIO event? Is it a program manager event?
All the above. We believe this year we've left no rock unturned in building our program. We want the program managers. We want the CIOs. We want the CISOs. And on the industry side, we want folks that do business in our space, but also folks that are learning how to do business in our space. You know, we believe that we offer something for everybody. But it's also, again, in that place where we think we've addressed problems that we're facing. Internet of Things, cybersecurity, national security, health IT, connected health, improving access to care with technology, and a lot of those things. And so we're bringing those together because we believe it's a broad audience, but it's going to be in that intimate way that it brings value.
Okay. Lou, you've been working on the program side of this. Give me an idea of some of the topics addressed in the tracks, a little deeper dive.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, kind of tagging on what Sean said, I tell people in the industry all the time that the best kept secret out there is GITEC and is the GITEC Summit, because as Sean said, the ratio to government to ever industry, where do you see an event like that? You just don't. Also, there is no other organizational outreach out there today like a GITEC that has, it's run by a board of government CIOs and CISOs. Just doesn't exist. And one of the things that brings to the table is a really robust program at the GITEC Summit, because we're hearing from these board members that are government, most of them been in government a very long time, what topics are relevant to them today, what topics are relevant to their staff today. So the program that goes into the GITEC Summit really covers a broad swath of all types of very interesting topics. So, for example, this year we have a track on health IT, very important. We also have a track on financial services. This is something that really is not talked about. And there's a lot of financial related agencies out there.
I remember the program from the 80s, Joint Financial Management Improvement Program, that produced studies every year across government dealing with those issues. AGA just came out with a new report on financial management in the agency. So you're right, grossly underreported, but, We're talking about an administration that really wants, some kind of more results, demonstrable results.
Right. Yep. Spot on. And, hot topics at the moment, relevancy. That's one of the other reasons, too, that we've named this whole summit around Revolution of Solutions, because we're trying to really go out there and make some noise around the topics that are really important today to our audience. Some other areas that we'll be focusing on, we have a track right around customer services, customer experience, so important, the journey of the customer. Modernizing the platform, that's very important with the whole IT modernization, so we have a whole track focused on that. There's a lot more information on each of these tracks at the GITEC.org website, and you can click on the summit button and get a lot more breakdown, as well as to see the really robust government speakers that are coming to talk on these different panels. The new IT agenda, boy, you could talk for 6 weeks on that topic. So we're going to really take that, massage it down, talk about the relevancy there. And then having an OMB panel, let's hear from the voices right inside of OMB, what they're looking at today, what's relevant. And all of you in the industry that's listening today, you want to come hear that panel. You want to be a sponsor at GITEC Summit so you can come and hear that panel. So okay. That's just a touch. There's so much more, and all of that is listed on the website.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I want to start this right now, so we'll start on the other side of the break and take a little longer segment next time. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You can listen to the show on the station website at federalnewsradio.com. You can also download the show at iTunes. We shall return in a moment. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm here today with Sean Kelly, president of GITEC and currently a CISO at a major federal agency, and with Lou Ann Brossman, virtual CMO and the founder of Government Marketing University. So my next article in WashTech is going to deal with the concept of, I'm not going to win this bid because the agency doesn't know me. I don't care. The agency doesn't care. It's not their problem. It's your problem. So one of the reasons to get involved in groups like GITEC is so you can start working directly with people. So Sean, I want to start off this way. I was at a WashTech event This came up briefly. People coming into the office to do pitches. A lot of CISOs, a lot of CIOs, A lot of people in positions of power take meetings with small businesses, and 99% of the time they don't come to fruition. Why?
Whew. You know, they have a definite opinion on this one. I meet with industry all the time, and it's for a couple reasons. One is you want to give those opportunities to talk with folks, but also you want to hear what's going on out there in the marketplace. You know, being inside the federal government, sometimes you can lose sight or become dated in what you know. So you want to hear the latest and greatest pitches that are going on. I think a lot of it doesn't come to fruition because a lot of the companies that come to see me just aren't prepared. They don't really understand. I have 30 minutes. You know, I work a lot of hours a day. And so I set some time aside for these visits. And when they come in, they're not ready for that elevator pitch. They're not ready to tell you what differentiates them from the next company that just left. They don't come in with a capability statement. They don't come in and show or demonstrate an understanding of your organization and what your needs are. And that's frustrating. And what I end up doing in those visits is spending a great deal of time tutoring them on what they should have done. And so they walk away with a lesson on maybe how to approach this better, but they're probably not going to get another appointment with me.
Maybe you should send them the cheat sheet ahead of time.
Right. Please bring a capability statement. Please prepare and understand what our needs and our struggles are today. Please.
Don't use I, me 50 times in the first 2 minutes.
Agreed. And I've seen this from even some seasoned professionals. I think they believe that they're coming in to build a relationship in this first 30 minutes is exactly that, the first 30 minutes. But if you don't have a strong showing in that first 30 minutes, it's not going to be a second 30 minutes.
Last 30 minutes.
Agreed. It's the last 30 minutes. And, you know, you want to see what the latest and greatest things are going out there, but you want to know that that company understands how that matches to the struggles or the problems or the issues you're trying to solve, right?
You know, that makes me think of something that we can offer to the industry is perhaps, and Sean would love to talk to you further about this from Government Marketing University perspective, but almost a template from government. Here's a template of the three questions to answer when you come in for your first 30 minutes with me.
Absolutely.
Well, conferences where you have the 3 minute sit down,
like speed dating.
Yeah, the speed dating things. For several of those conferences, I did a what to do on your first OSDBU visit presentation the month before the event for the companies coming to it. So I can speak on that for anywhere from 15 minutes to 2 hours because I've talked to a lot of OSDBUs and same thing. You know, they come in, I'm an 8A or I'm almost an 8A or I'm a service, you know, where's my contract? Hello.
And those numbers are published. I mean, everybody knows who's making their small business, their disabled veteran numbers, their hub zone numbers. And so, you know, if an agency is exceeding their 8A numbers, I'm not saying that many are, but if they are, then that's probably not an agency that you want to target. You want to target the many that aren't and going after them. And that's the other piece is that, you know, when I ask the question, what vehicles you're on, or, you know, how do we get your business? Well, whatever you want me to use.
Yeah, you know, whatever you want me to use. I'm not there yet, but I'll be there real soon.
Agreed.
Maybe we'll get buzzers for all the CISOs and CIOs out there.
Agreed.
Wrong answer.
You know, not having a contractual vehicle when you walk into an office and expecting a contract is, you know, you might as well play Russian roulette with, you know, six bullets in the gun before you go in.
Agreed. And there's some amazing solutions out there that we want to get to, but we all know the game. You have to have those vehicles to get the access. And that's what you want to get to is making sure that you have the right vehicles to target the right agencies with the right solutions for those.
When was the last time a company came in and told you they had a crappy product?
Never. Never. Every solution is going to save the world, you know.
Okay. So to circle this back around, you know, the article is going to highlight, you know, so the agency doesn't know you, so what? So what do? You can generate content and start putting it out there, you know, to brand your company, but it all has to lead to face-to-face encounters. And that's where organizations like GuyTech can play a truly significant role. You know, I went to the WashTech briefing yesterday on category management, not because I'm a big category management fan. I went because I knew there would be great networking. I could see some of the people in government that I know and like. You know, people like Casey Kelly from Alliant, who happens to be the IT services category manager, and people from industry. So being out there, being known, working with these people, how can GuyTech lend itself to private sector contractors who need better relationships?
Yeah, that's a great question. GuyTech attendees, board members are very accessible when you come to the conference. I see it all the time. Luann sees it. People will stop. Hey, I know, Sean, you're from X, or Carlo, you're from this organization. Can I talk to you a moment? You know, I've been trying to get some time. Or even, hey, I know you're part of GuyTech, or I know someone from your organization speaking. Are you going to GuyTech this year? Can we sit down with you if you're going while you're there? I see a lot of that going on in the hallways, at lunch, at breakfast, during the coffee breaks, a lot of those type of meetings. And that's what I think of a lot of our small businesses, as well as our other companies. They also use GuyTech as a moment that, I know you're going to be here for 2.5 days. You know, can we have a few moments of your time to sit down and talk? And there's a lot of that going on throughout GuyTech. And that's because of that intimacy we talked about earlier. They have that time.
And it's also expected. The government comes into the GuyTech Summit expecting to interact with industry. So it's a known factor. And with that, we bake into a lot of networking opportunities throughout those 2.5 days.
It is. And social events afterwards, not just to have social events, but to encourage that participation and that networking.
Yeah. And 2.5 days offsite, not too far away. It's going to be in Annapolis this year.
Agreed. Great site. Great location.
Yeah. Yeah. I happen to be a Maryland boy. I like Annapolis. So it's a short drive for me. But, you know, the bottom line here is there's Professional Services Council, there's ACT-IAC, there's Affirm. I don't think there's any other of the FGPSI councils left except Affirm. IPIC used to be one back in the 80s, but separated when it became GuyTech, I believe. But, you know, there's opportunities out there for people to get involved. And I get calls from these companies all the time. Well, they don't know me. You know, go meet somebody.
Agreed.
Or roll your sleeves up and come join one of our councils within GuyTech.
Agreed.
We need worker bees. We would love to have them come work with us.
The best way to meet these people is to do that in a non-paid capacity to help build a conference. To, you know, if you're going to host, you know, bi-monthly, you know, workshops, get in there and get on the program committee where the program for the type of work your company does, and you're going to meet these people.
Agreed. And, you know, Mark, with that, I would say if you go to GuyTech.org and there is a, on our website, select to nominate, fill a form out, submit your name, anybody in industry. We're very open to that.
There you go.
Absolutely. In the amount of work, Luann brought it up, to put together a high quality conference is immense. And so having those folks that want to get involved in these committees, you're working side by side with many government employees that are on the board. So, or in the associates. And so the exposure is amazing. And again, it's a very close family environment within GuyTech. It's all volunteer. And believe me, I ask a lot of this team. And they
know.
Not only do they answer, but they exceed what I ask. And so, yes, get involved. Click on the link at GuyTech.org and come on over. We can use the help.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, quite congenial group of folks, I can say from experience.
You know, so. And I talk about this actually with individuals that I'm working to recruit to come over to it. I'm like, where else can you go where you're sitting around in a conference room with 12 government CIO, CISO types talking about industry, talking about our event, exchanging holiday cheer? You know, I mean, you get to know them and they get to know us, and it's a great collaboration.
Absolutely.
Point. All right, we're going to take our next break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. We shall return. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. I'm here today with Sean Kelly, president of GuyTech. You can find them at guytech.org. And Luann Brossman of Government Marketing University, a member of the Executive Advisory Council of GuyTech. Let's take a dive into one of the topics, why people should go to this event. Health IT is hot. It's hot in DOD. It's hot with HHS. It's hot at CMS out in Baltimore. You know, there's a variety of things at play here. It involves cyber. It involves cloud. It involves confidentiality. It involves ransomware. And you did a presentation on this last year, right?
I did.
So give me the scope of that, and let's dive down a little bit.
I think our customers, or our, in healthcare we call them patients, are coming to their doctor's office more educated. They've done internet searches, and they believe at some point or another they know exactly what's going on, and that they can self-diagnose, and they're going to come in and tell the doctor exactly, this is what I got, this is what I need, thank you. It's so much more complex than that, and that's why we have doctors who can do that. But doctors, patients, and everybody are now really starting to have more expectations of that encounter. Patients no longer want to come into a hospital and spend 30 minutes in a waiting room for a 5 to 10 minute visit with the doctor and then walk out, pick up the prescriptions, and thank you. They're looking for a complete experience. They're looking for a connected experience. You know, everybody has wearables now. Everybody wants a customized experience. You know, I was in a meeting yesterday and we were talking about Groupon, and now Groupon's targeting their ads. You know, if you live here, you're going to get this kind of ad. And if you kind of search on these kind of things, you're going to get these kind of things in your inbox. Patients are looking for the same thing. When they show up, if I need lab work, I want to know about that. I can spend my 30 minutes going that. Someone needs to direct that. If I need an allergy shot, or I need an immunization, or I need a flu shot, that needs to be taken care of while I'm waiting. When I walk out, I want an application that's going to tell me everything. I don't want a big piece of papers that they normally give you at the pharmacy and say, here's all the things that could go wrong if you do the wrong things. They're going to look for that on the app. They're going to look for trending. Okay, what is my blood pressure? You take this every time I come. What is it really telling us? What is the other test that you're taking really telling us? And they're looking for that intelligence, but they're looking at it, looking for it in the palm of their hands. And we as health IT professionals, we're trying to get there. You know, if you look at anybody's phone today, you have about 20 apps to do about 20 different things. Eventually, we have to talk about the integration of those things, where I go to one app that kind of tells all those kind of things for me. You know, I get up when I'm traveling, and some app within my calendar has said, you're traveling today, you're going to be on a flight in 45 minutes. You know, you need to start heading to the airport. By the way, traffic is 45 minutes behind. So do the math together, you're probably going to be late. But we need an application that's going to bring all that together, and health IT's experience in that. As well as, we have a great deal of medical devices out there. They're very expensive, and they're all connected. And so you have to figure out, from a security standpoint, as well as a functionality standpoint for patient safety, how are you going to ensure that you have the right environment? This is huge. This environment now, where we live with connected health and improved access to care, is creating some great solutions in a great environment, but it's also equally creating a lot of problems that we have to solve and come together as an industry to figure out. Because the medical device companies are creating latest and greatest medical device applications and services with their equipment. There's a cost. And we only have so many IT funds within the private sector and the government sector, and we have to figure out how to invest those funds. And that's one of those things that we can talk about at GuideTech, and figuring out what is the way to go about that in the future.
Okay. So the security aspect, the confidentiality aspect, let's go to that ransomware thing. That seems to be pretty hot. I know your current agency isn't involved in that, but I know you talk to a lot of other CISOs. What are they saying about things like ransomware? Because it's not just going to apply to, you know, medical institutions. It's going to apply across the board.
Ransomware is becoming more abundant. You know, hacktivism for services is becoming more abundant. You know, we have to make sure that we're creating an environment that people can be very functional. We still have to keep the business in mind. And if we don't, you know, we can create very, very secure solutions, but then how functional are they for the business to work in? And so one is education. A lot of the things that we experience are because we exposed ourselves to something because of a user's behavior. And so our users are always going to be our frontline of defense. But then what are the technical solutions? Everybody wants to be innovative and agile. But at the same time, especially in the government sector, we have a whole bunch of compliance that has to be done. And then we have to look at the third stool leg and say, what are the resources we have to do both? And, you know, we have compliance because things that have gone wrong, ransomware attacks, these kind of things have happened. Well, we add a piece of compliance to make sure that everybody's doing what they need to do. But then that takes away from, where do we need to be innovative and agile, and that innovative and agile solutions have to be compliant. And so we run into that circle that we have to really address and look at and figure out, how do we do this and keep everybody safe while bringing those innovative solutions that don't expose us to hacking or ransomware events?
Okay. What are the other issues in the health IT arena that you know, let's say I'm a small company. I've subbed on something at NIH or VA or CMS, and I really want to get more involved in health IT. What's the benefit for this company to attend an event like the GuyTech conference?
Well, you're going to hear from all, you know, this year we have a lot of healthcare flavors. We have VA coming in very strong. We also have Defense Health. That's going to give, those are two very large healthcare institutions within the United States. And that's going to give you a real flavor, especially in very large, and we also have HHS and NIH present. So we really have the healthcare spectrum covered in this conference. That's going to give them a real idea of what the challenges we're facing, and then trying to match up their solutions. Healthcare is a different flavor in a lot of ways from other government solutions, but there's a lot of similarities as well. By coming to GuyTech this year, you're going to learn how to bring those two solutions together.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question to you, Sean. So as a marketer, in marketing today, we think about marketing around thought leadership, and health IT is absolutely one of the top five that we look to market to. But right there with it is also Internet of Things.
Yeah.
Under Internet of Things, should we be thinking that as more of a sub underneath thought leadership topics such as healthcare? Or can it stand on its own?
It can stand on its own, and it can be part of every single piece of our track that we're talking about. Internet of Things is a real item that we're all looking at. Every day a new one comes out, and we have to figure out how we're going to incorporate those into our environment. So we can't just say no. You know, we have to look at ways that we're going to bring this in, but it's really hard, you know, because there are so many different flavors. I got a call one day from a friend at DHA, and he's like, hey, we're doing this thing with wearables. You know, would you mind, you know, getting involved in the shows? And I said, okay, yeah, I have the Garmin HR Plus. He goes, okay, that's the only one we're not using. And it just kind of demonstrates that there's always going to be another flavor of Internet of Things. And where do you say no? What do you bring in? What is the flavor? When this market is exploding and it's all connected, and you got to figure out, okay, the problem that we have to figure out within the federal government is, how do we move fast, right? Because by the time you get it approved, you get it examined, you get it acquired, you get it in the system, well, there's 10 new ones out that do 10 new things. And it's really hard in our marketplace to move at that speed that we want to bring things to market.
Well, you're too young to remember this, but that was the exact problem in the desktop contracts in the early 90s. So desktop one comes out, you've got the early, you know, I don't even know if it was a 286 then, but by the time the contract rolled out, the tech refresh process on those contracts was 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
So by the time the contract was awarded, the next Intel iteration was out. So you'd use your credit card, not the contract, and you'd go micro purchase the SOB.
Yeah.
And, you know, the contracts were worth, as John Nance Garner would say, warm spit.
Yeah. So. And I think that's a great segue. You know, Annette Skirvin-Gibbs is going to be at GuyTech, and she is going to talk about the VA's strategic sourcing and, you know, some of the things they're doing about procurement and strategic sourcing at the VA. And I think that's going to be an exciting topic that we can talk about.
Okay. Are there going to be any other acquisition topics there?
There are. There are quite a few, actually. We're opening up the first night with a moderated panel of many of our members to talk about it, as well as we have some invitations out. Hopefully, hear back real soon with some other acquisition and procurement executives to come and speak at GuyTech.
Okay, cool. Because, you know, I'm a huge fan of GWACs myself. So I'd love to see some of those people present. You know, you mentioned NIH, you know, NITAC is based at NIH, and they run three GWACs, and their original intent was the health IT community. They've expanded from, they still serve that community, but they've expanded beyond. Soup's original scope was scientific workstations. They have expanded well beyond that. The first Soup contract was a single award. So,
outstanding, yeah. And you know, we also have Dr. Paul Court, from Defense Health, and he's on the functional side. And so that's really going to bring some of the business flavor in of Defense Health agencies. And that's really important because GuideTech doesn't want to bring just the pure IT flavor. We're Information Technology Executive Council, but we want to make sure that at the end of the day, we're answering business solutions. That's what we're here for. On the government side and an industry side, if we just focus on IT and not really down to the heart of what needs to be accomplished, then we're missing the boat and we're never going to get there.
Well, it's like those people coming into your office. They have the neatest thing, but they don't have a vehicle to sell it through.
Agreed.
So you got to present both sides.
Agreed. Agreed. So. And I would say anybody that wants to get into healthcare IT as a final piece, you need to learn the business of healthcare first. You need to understand what actually we're trying to accomplish. And it really comes down to the patient. You know, how do we support that patient and how do we ensure that every outcome is a good outcome?
And just then we start like selling the DOD. We're supporting the warfighter. We're not supporting the infrastructure.
Exactly.
So very cool. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. We shall return right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. I'm here today with Sean Kelly, who is the president of GuideTech, also a federal CIO. I'm here with Lou Ann Brossman of Government Marketing University, and we're talking about pretty much all things GuideTech. And to that end, Sean, you've offered a lot of leadership in the organization over the past year, since I've been involved, pushing not only the current status, but looking towards the future of the organization. So what is the future of GuideTech?
No, thank you. We're looking at all possibilities. We have a group right now that's looking at our strategic future and setting a strategic plan for the board and the EAC to look at. You know, as you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of activity here in the Washington, D.C. area, and we're just looking at where we can continue to add value. That's, at the end of the day, what GuideTech wants is, where do we add value and where we continue to add value? Where do we bring the intimacy? Where are opportunities for us to grow and expand? And what we hope to do in the next few months is really have a good plan about going there in the future, whether it's an expansion activity, whether it's a different venue that we want to look at or those kind of things. But we are looking at everything and anything and really taking an approach where the future is wide open. I think within the government sector, within the industry, with even Washington, D.C., there is the air of change. And we need to make sure that we're embracing that and following suit.
Okay. And, you know, the air of change is not just the administration change, which is going to impact a lot of programs in government, but it was there before. I mean, there's so many things happening in the cyber world. You know, 2 years ago, the Pentagon finally acknowledging that cyber war was its own area, you know, sea, air, land, space, and cyber.
There is.
So we have five fronts, boys and girls.
Right.
But you know, GuideTech has been around longer than just about any of the other organizations
Very
that
true.
I can think of.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Gypsy was started in 1979, IAC founded in 1989. Once upon a time, the Gypsy had 26 councils around the country. You believe that?
Wow. that's a lot to manage.
People don't even remember what the Gypsy stands for.
I have to admit, I don't think I have heard of it.
Federation of Government Information Processing Councils. It's the
only Mark Amtower could pull that out like
right.
that.
I am the historian of the market.
Yes, you are.
And I can't wait for that Jeopardy category.
Right.
You know, I just want to follow up with what Sean just said, is that we, under Sean's leadership, he's really brought some clear recommendations and insight into where his vision is of GuideTech into the next 5 years. So with that, we also have a very strong leader as our government industry lead on the marketing, Adrian Burton. Adrian is the CIO at the Health Resources and Services Administration, and she's been great because she's got the right vision for government, and then we've got a pretty strong team of marketers from the industry as well under her guidance. And with that, we're really taking a look and making some big strides around how we communicate the GuideTech message, as well as events and activities such as GuideTech Summit. We've got a much more robust social media presence. Excited to say that we are building out a whole new platform and website. We'll have a lot more news relevant. So I encourage everyone to start coming to the GuideTech website today, because there is current relevant news on the site today. And we're going to take that and really expand on it, because we do have our 12 federal executive leaders on our board. We're going to start taking advantage of that. We're going to start interviewing them, asking them questions, having them have a voice. And I'm really excited about where that's going to take us moving forward, because I often say to industry people, GuideTech is the best kept secret out there. Mm-hmm. Well, shame on us, right? It is great. The best kept secret out there, but we are starting to see a change in that. And we are starting to see a lot of very large companies coming back as sponsors, which really excites me as a marketer. We need to broaden that. So if anybody is listening and would like to be a sponsor, we would love for you to come to our site and register for that. And we're also seeing an uptick in just the overall awareness in the industry. When you do mention GuideTech, people are like, oh yeah, you know, for a while it was like, who? But we're starting to really recognize and resonate. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm very excited about the vision that Sean and his team are putting in place.
Yeah, and you know, I've been on the executive advisory committee for the past year. I'm going to vacate because I want to give my seat to Kathy Cromley. I'll still be involved, but I just don't want to occupy a seat because I never show up at meetings. And one of my rules about being involved is you got to show up. When you relocate to Columbia, I'll rejoin. So.
And we do appreciate everything, Mark, so please know that.
Yeah, but you're not losing anything if Cromley's going to take my place, you know. And you've already got a great brain trust with Don and Lou Ann and
Anne-Marie Clark.
Anne-Marie.
Some of the oldies but goodies.
Oldies my butt, man. These are experienced people.
They are. And the marketing committee has been amazing. Yeah, I mean, just the work that has been accomplished this year has been nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, so even marketing people can get involved in this. But I want to go back to the involvement by other industry. As GuideTech moves forward, how do you envision getting more industry involvement? Because that's going to be a key to the success. The government can't fund the events. Okay. The industry has to fund the events. So where's the rubber going to meet the road there?
I think it's a great question. And we've done a lot this year. We've upgraded all our platforms. We've decreased our overhead costs. We brought in a great partner in Conley Works to be our business and run our business. With the focus of how do we improve the value? And we want to attract some of the greatest speakers that government has to offer. But you're right. Our industry partners are equally important to put this on and put a high-quality event together. And we have to make sure—
And to bring the solutions.
And bring those solutions. And we have to figure out if all the changes we made this year brought that value. And that is going to be one of the major things that I'm going to be doing at the conference this year, is sitting down with as many industry folks as possible saying, how are we doing? Is this valuable to you? Did we hit the mark? Where can we make some changes to add more value next year? How do we make this a great event for you as well as the government? And so let's talk right after the summit, and I'm hoping to have some very clear answers whether, you know, this is where this unbelievable group of people that sit, including yourself, Mark, that sit on the EAC, sit on the board, sit with the associates, this is where we believe brought the value. Now we have to go get that feedback and make sure that we actually did bring the value from the folks that attend and the folks that are involved and the folks that sponsor.
Yeah. And for the industry people out there, I would strongly suggest taking a look at the current agenda, not just the speakers, but the topics involved here. If these are areas where you currently work, where you currently dabble, or where you are strategically aiming your company, this is an event where you can sit down with some of the people inside government driving these areas. It's that simple. So, you know, don't simply attend, but sponsor, get some visibility, have a booth, you know, do the luncheons and dinner. I don't know what all the sponsorship opportunities are.
They're all listed on the website. And yeah. I think it's interesting to say as well that the majority of our current sponsors are returning sponsors.
They are.
That are not... they're not coming for any other reasons, and they saw the value.
Agreed.
Bingo. So give me some final thoughts. Lou, you first.
The industry is ripe for GuideTech. The industry is ripe for GuideTech to come out with a bang. And we're going to do that at the Guy Tech Summit, because I think the program team has put together incredible speakers. And I'm speaking from the industry. And I would say anybody in industry that is in business development or sales or marketing, crazy if you don't participate.
And the conference is April 2 to 4. So it's closing in, folks. Sean, final thoughts.
It is at the West End in Annapolis. To our industry and our government, every day we're getting confirmations on some great speakers. And just keep checking out the website at guytech.org and look at the great program that's been put together. But also that as we get these speakers confirmed, they get through their approval checks at their organizations, you're going to see what a high-quality event this is.
Bingo. There you go. This is not my day job. If you'd like to discuss your B2G marketing or understand better where LinkedIn fits in to our market, drop me a line at markamtower@gmail.com. And thank you very much for listening to Amtower Off Center.
You've been listening to Amtower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.